I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent and free thinkers out there. I use the term free thinkers, having come from the Rankin County School Board meeting this morning, where the masks, it's difficult to watch. It's difficult to watch adults in these masks still, 18 months later. Every single chart out there shows these things have absolutely zero effect. I guess I need to just assume every person who is wearing one of these face binkies is somehow immunocompromised and they fear for their lives. I don't know. I didn't stick my head into the overflow room. I actually got into the main room for this meeting. There were two speakers, two courageous people that stood up to speak out for their children when it comes to the mask. The room was full. But the smattering of applause for those people who challenged the mask. A lot of NPCs in that room, I'll put it that way. A lot of people really nonplussed with the idea of a parent fighting to get their child freed from this mask. But I didn't. I'm just kicking myself that I didn't check out the overflow room. So if anybody's listening that was at the Rankin County Board School Board meeting today and you know what was going on out in the overflow. I would like to know if there were more people there. Very, very hard to tell. Not a lot of activity there. The rule for attending the Rankin County School Board meeting was quite interesting. You have to wear a mask to walk into the building. Once you take the 20 steps into the room, you can take the mask off. If you leave the room and want to walk out of the building for that 20 steps, you've got to have the mask on. I will say everybody there was as nice as they could be, cheerful and pleasant. And I think they even I spoke to a couple people outside who were just completely frustrated with this mask situation. And they said the people were kind of commiserating with them. We know we don't like to do this either, but this is the job I've been given. This is a very, very tough thing, but this has gone on throughout history. People who say, well, it's my job. You know, there have been police out there who have had to arrest people. They knew that didn't deserve to go to jail. They knew it was going to destroy their lives, but they just said, well, this is the law. This is what some politician said I have to do, so this is what I do because I earn my paycheck. That is a very, very difficult thing to break people out of. I hesitate to necessarily judge people for a lot of these things, but at some point, you know... People have got to stand up against this stuff just to point out the absurdity of it. You're doing a service for your fellow human beings. If you work in one of these organizations, you should work up the chain of command in your building and say, can we please stop this ridiculous? And one of the girls who spoke at the Rankin County School Board, she made the point. This is theater. This is disease and political theater of wearing these ridiculous masks for our children. And it is the same thing, but there were people sitting in this room. Everybody temperature checked on the way in. I haven't had that happen to me in quite a while. The chairs are spaced 10 feet apart or something like that, and there are people still cowering in fear behind this mask. What are they doing? I don't know. Appeared to be a very low turnout. We're going to concentrate next on this Madison meeting. I believe it's October 4th. We'll continue to talk about it. We're going to start sending out some emails to get people energized about doing it. There's got to be enough parents to sway these school boards. I find myself being a little, it's not depressed. That's not really the term. Frustrated. I saw two of the Madison moms that I've had on the show this past weekend. And they came out to support the Rankin parents, but the Rankin parents didn't come out to support their own children. So, what do you do? What do you do? I did hear that there are some private schools that have been going maskless. I need to find this out. I got some good information from the meeting to follow up. And the question becomes, in my mind, what is the money that's tied to these ridiculous CDC rules? You know, everything's from the CDC. Nobody thinks for themselves. Nobody in that Rankin County School Board meeting is making any decisions. They're waiting to be told what to do so that they can tell the students what to do. Nobody's thinking for themselves. These are our learning institutions, you understand. I know we've all talked for a long time that our children are taught what to think, but the really valuable lesson would be to be taught how to think. Well, now you know why. Because the administration and a lot of the teachers, they don't know how to think, or they don't exercise that skill. They're given a curriculum, the bullet points to hit, teach to the test. Everything outside of that is left to the rules, whatever the rules come down. And so when you're sending your kids to one of these schools, if you're sending your kid to a school right now that is masking your children, you're not getting them any lessons on how to think. And if you were to dare teach them how to think at home, they might rebel against the masks, so get ready. But anyway, well, I do want to find out about this money, so I may reach out, try to find some officials with these private schools that apparently have been able to go completely maskless. One speaker said they've been maskless for the entire past year. And if that's the case, I'd be very interested to know where the money funding is. I'm sure private schools have had access to COVID funds as well. Is it possible? Is it possible that some private schools actually put the students' well-being above the money? Is that possible in today's world? Well, I'm going to find out. I'll do a little bit of research and we'll move on. Next hour, we'll get into Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I ran into a video. I'm going to play kind of some excerpts from a woman's speech. I've reached out to her to try to get her on the show. She did a book about nutritional guidance in this country, how it started, how it stayed. It's very similar to the mask thing. Very similar to all of the supposed science around COVID. Essentially, what happened with nutritional advice in the United States was it came from essentially a few people. People didn't dare challenge it because these few people also held the purse strings around any research, anything else. And so they misled the American people for decades on nutritional advice to the detriment of the health of Americans. These are people at the CDC, the FDA, the USDA. Because they didn't want to challenge a few people at the top who had all the power and who held the purse strings, because they didn't want to challenge those people, they hurt Americans. Generations, hundreds of millions of Americans suffered physically with their health because nobody wanted to challenge the people in the establishment. This has been going on for decades and decades. It's just, I can't, I'm just searching for why we're not sick of it. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, Joe, what's up?
Oh, did you hear the top of the hour news, I think it was the last hour, that I believe the CDC is now considering disinformation a public health crisis?
I think that was some jurisdiction. Yeah, I did hear it, but so many times when you're thinking about other things, you hear something jarring like that, and then you've got to try to rewind in your mind where it came from. I think it was something like, I think it was Nevada. It might have been the state of Nevada, I think, that said that. But yeah, I did hear that. I mean, this is the basis of all of the censorship and all of the dismissal from, the school boards or the Thomas Dobbs of the world, that if you say anything contrary to what they say, that's misinformation, and you're actually not just expressing a different opinion, you're dangerous.
You know, exactly. So if you question the narrative, if you exercise critical thinking skills, you're dangerous.
Right.
You're contributing to a health crisis, and that puts, quote, disinformation under the guise of government regulation.
Yeah, and you know, I sat in that meeting this morning, and I was just thinking, these people are all following the CDC guidance. And I know I keep repeating myself on this, but this is the Centers for Disease Control that has been in charge of the American health for decades now. And every single major disease that I can think of has just exploded. They keep going up. This operation, the CDC, they're not good at what they do. So why we believe that their word should be gospel and shouldn't be challenged is beyond me. Their results are abysmal.
Well, and considering the term critical thinking skills, the CDC, Fauci, has been all over the map. I mean, they've contradicted themselves so many times over the masks, over the vaccines were going to save us all. The vaccines were the answer. It was going to stop the pandemic. The country's has been the most fascinated. or the hot spots.
Right.
You know, first they said, you know, you get it, you take the vaccine, you want it, get COVID, you can't spread it. Then they start seeing people getting it who's been vaccinated. And I was told by a nurse last night that in their hospital, if you come in and you've been vaccinated, I hate to use that word because it's not true.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. Yeah.
That and you come down with COVID, then you've got the flu. But if you haven't had the vaccine, you come down with COVID.
was she saying that like she knew that that was the scam they were running, or was she saying that like they had convinced her that was true?
It was the scam they were running.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, and like I said, they've lost all credibility for anyone who can say, wait a minute here, you know, you know, you're all over the map. You change your storyline. It's just like if the police were interrogating a possible crime suspect and they start changing their subject, immediately the police know that they're lying.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, what's so nefarious about this is we've canceled the, you know, what used to go as a second opinion. You know, you go, you get a diagnosis from a doctor. You want to make sure they're right, or you're not comfortable with it, or you want to just cover your bases. You go get a second opinion. Now they call a second opinion misinformation. You take the first opinion because there is only one authority, and that is Thomas Dobbs or Anthony Fauci or CDC or some of these people. If you dare consult another medical professional or do any of your own research, that becomes disinformation by disagreeing with the first. I mean, a second opinion is well-established, recommended protocol for anybody who gets a diagnosis of something, but we've criminalized the second opinion now.
Well, you know, they use the term disinformation and misinformation. Those are two different terms, and only the government can engage in disinformation, because disinformation is when someone catches on that, hey, something's wrong here, and they think they've got some of the story. Then disinformation is the government comes out and says, oh, you're right, but did you know that UFOs and aliens are responsible, and they add a whole bunch of other stuff that's not true to confuse the subject.
Right.
That's disinformation, and only the government can engage in that.
And they are in spades.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is strange. I got to tell you, it's kind of you know, coming out of these board meetings when I have to I rarely interact. I really am kind of blessed in that I'm around people like you. You know, the callers to the station people here, most of my friends. But then when I have to go out and operate in the real world and sit and watch the board members, I mean, the president of the board takes off her mask to talk, and then she puts her mask back on after she gets done. I mean, I just feel like I'm in this bizarre movie or something that it is almost surreal to me. It takes me a while to kind of come back, you know, to some level of reality after experiencing that and going, oh my God, people are really living their lives this way. It's just absolutely insane.
Well, the other day we were out on a cut cable and we were all talking. These are, you know, the craft employees who go out and get their hands dirty. And there was about 10 of us, and the conversation was all about vaccines and the masks and how that nobody wanted them, and the narrative is all bogus. And these are, you know, people who get their hands dirty. They work hard. They get sunburned. But when you're going up the ladder to, you know, executives and upper management, you know, it's like they just speak the narrative, eat the narrative, and pass on the narrative.
Yeah. Well, they're, you know, probably the people who get to the executive level in a lot of these organizations are just ass kissers. You know, so they're just do what they're told to make sure that that check gets fatter every year. And that's what's happened to, you know, in corporate America and the military.
And that's the people that get promoted up the chain.
Right.
It's like we want yes, man. We want people who are going to, you know, we say the narrative and you pass it on. We invent the policy and you just enforce it.
Yeah, well, and you know, you know, you talk about this misinformation stuff. I mean, censorship is just a first step. You know, this, like you're talking about this, I guess it's Nevada that's come out and made this, you know, a public threat or whatever they're calling it. I mean, there is going to be a time where people like us here at WYAB, it will be a crime to say the kinds of things we say. And people are not going to be well served to silence people, not just through deplatforming on YouTube and Instagram. I mean, that's bad enough, but you know, we let this continue, we're going to see people just completely disappeared. I mean, you know, they're just going to be gone so that there's no risk of them speaking out anywhere.
I feel like we're living in the middle of the book, 1984.
Yeah.
And if you remember in the book or at the end of the book, when they've got Watson on the table with the electrocution cords on him and they hold up four fingers and they say, you know, how many fingers am I holding up? And he says four, and they shock him. And they keep doing it. And then he says five. You know, what am I? What's the answer? You know, stop shocking me. And they say it's whatever we say it is.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's kind of where we're living at now. The narrative is, the truth is, whatever we say it is, and don't question what you see in front of your eyes.
Exactly. And people have been willing to do it. They're willing to not think at all for themselves, not think with it, even the slightest modicum of, you know, the girl at the Rankin County Board meeting this morning, she said there's a public, you know, a private school down the street here, hadn't had mask on for the past year and a half. They've got no cases there. They've got no outbreaks. There is nothing happening at that school that shows that it's some kind of a danger to free our kids from these things. I guarantee you that went when in one mask looped ear and out the other mask looped ear of these school board members. I mean, it's just, you know, the facts, the things, considerations like those things, just they don't land anymore. People just, they don't care. They've got a rule, and anything contrary to the rule must just, it can't even be considered. It's just weird. I'm having trouble even narrating it.
Exactly. They've been educated beyond their intelligence. They feel like they're so superior to the rest of us peons that, you know, they know better than we do.
Yeah, what does it say? I can't remember the quote. I think I've done it here before. Though, you know, the intellectual people are always full of self-doubt, but it is the ones who know nothing that are always so sure of their positions. Something along those lines, but we see it in spades these days. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Bye. All right. I'll try to get my thoughts together. Come back on the other side. Stay with me. You know, I've struggled a little bit over the past several months with my health show, because what I want the health show to be is empowering, and I try to make sure I've got something in there today about sleep apnea. I'm always surprised how many people I run across that have got sleep apnea, or a spouse has got sleep apnea. So there may be a nutritional fix for that you can try. So I try to do empowering stuff, but you know, I'm hell-bent right now on trying to discredit these institutions, because they're driving the bus. The CDC, the FDA, they are driving our lives right now. Should they be trusted? Do they? What are their track records like? They're terrible. They are terrible. I mean, I didn't even know, and I studied this stuff relentlessly till I did the story the other day. 377 drugs have been recalled by the FDA in the past 4 years. Does that give you confidence when you hear FDA approval on one of these shots? They approved every one of those 377 drugs and then had to recall them because of side effects or ineffectiveness or all kinds of different problems. People have got to understand that these rules that are coming down are not coming from some They're not coming down from the mountain. They're not on stone tablets. These are bureaucrats. Horribly conflicted bureaucrats who are feeding at the troughs of these companies. So I'm going to play what I was, I was looking at my clips and I was like, boy, that's a lot for this woman to talk about when it comes to, you know, bad science coming out of the FDA and the CDC and the USDA when it comes to nutrition in America. But I think if people catch on and they realize, oh, they aren't serving the American people, they are serving the companies. Oh, so maybe the masks, maybe they really don't know about the mask. Cruel irony being that the CDC website is littered with things that tell you that masks are not only ineffective, but also dangerous. But when you realize that these agencies don't serve you or your children, maybe you stop listening to them then? I say that with a question mark at the end of it. I don't know. I don't know what gets through to people at this point. I really don't. So anyway, next hour, you will hear of another huge scam run on the American people that cost the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, destroyed the health of millions and millions of Americans, all while they knew it would. But they didn't want to damage some fragile egos. They didn't want to recognize the errors in their, air quotes here in the studios, science. So, anyway, we'll do that then. I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to get into something. There's a talking point going around to conservatives about this new IRS rule. I got some questions about that for you. What's the frequency? Can it be sharp and subdued? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I was kind of reminded of my roots last night. I watched a documentary on the old Oakland Raiders. That was my football team throughout my youth and growing up. And I was just reminded because they were recounting the old Oakland Raiders. And if you remember them back in the late 60s, the 70s, when I fell in love with the Raiders, they were just rebels. These were the guys that would get off the bus, not in suits and ties, but in, leather vests and bandanas and tattoos. And they were known to just be this brutal team, this outlier, this rebel team. And I realized, boy, I guess I've had this streak in me for a long, long, long time. I can't help. I got to cover the story. I'm going to get into something, what I think is interesting financial, and this is one of these things where I'm going to try to shake some conservatives awake because, this phenomenon a lot of us are feeling right now. Joe just called in. He feels the same way. Where you're looking around and you're asking yourself, why aren't people having a problem with what's going on right now? Well, I've had this feeling for years, going on decades, really, but a good solid 15 years. I've been looking at a lot of conservatives and Republicans and just saying, why aren't you having a problem with this? And I'll get to that in just a second. But I got to cover this story. I can't ignore it. And this is my show. So here it goes. This is in the news today. This is on the U.S. Sun, the U.S. version of the U.K. Sun. And, of course, I was drawn to this headline because I just got this feeling in the pit of my stomach like, oh, hell, here we go again. Virus scare, new COVID variant found in Kentucky nursing home has deadly mutations that could evade virus antibodies. A new variant of COVID-19 with deadly mutations that give it, quote, increased resistance to antibodies was discovered in a Kentucky nursing home. The variant called R1, fear word of the day, R1. Fear word of the day, R1. Infected 45 residents and employees in the facility. And then they say this, including some who were fully vaccinated. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know. I've played clips on this show of the Kentucky governor. He's a freak. I'm just going to come right out and say it. He comes out and tells you that you just got to get this vaccine, and he just don't understand anybody that wouldn't run out and get this miracle of modern science. He's just a hillbilly vaccine pusher. What are the chances? This is a nursing home. What are the chances that every one of these people that is suddenly exposed to this new variant, R1, were fully vaccinated? They have made a push on these nursing homes to get everybody vaccinated. Certainly the employees. I'm going to do my investigation on this. My point being that isn't it strange that we've got these new variants popping up in a nursing home where we know the vast, vast majority of nursing home residents and staff have gotten the jab. Isn't that interesting that that's where we're finding these new mutants? And add to that, that we have just rolled out boosters. Wouldn't it be interesting if there was any honesty or any intellectual curiosity in our mainstream media? Wouldn't it be interesting to find out if this outbreak of this new scary variant came on the heels of a new booster program in a nursing home in Kentucky? I'm just saying. I can't prove that. But when you've got variants popping up in places that are the most heavily vaccinated, and I doubt there are any organizations more heavily vaccinated than nursing homes in the United States, and especially in Kentucky, where the governor is so excited about that miracle of science. It sure sounds to me like this is one of these scare variants. And they talk about, let me see down in here. Scientist William A. Hasseltine writes in Forbes, R1 is a variant to watch. It has established a foothold both in Japan and the United States. Here it is. One of these, he talks about the mutations in this thing. A mutation termed E484K. Located in the spike protein of the virus, gives it an, quote, increased resistance to antibodies generated by the vaccine. Huh. Sounds to me like a virus that got into a heavily vaccinated population and had to figure some stuff out to be able to survive. So it mutated itself to move about this heavily vaccinated nursing home. Holy cow. They will use these variants that are probably created by the vaccine itself to sell more vaccines. It's quite something to watch, I got to tell you. I'll do a little bit of research, see if I can find out. I don't even know if they named the nursing home in this thing. Maybe you can't name and shame the place that's creating the variants. Maybe it will be called Golden Acres Mutant, you know. The Golden Acres variant. As I said, that a lot of us are looking around the world right now and saying to all kinds of different people at the school boards, our fellow citizens who are sending their kids to school in these dirty, dangerous masks, and we look at them and we say, why aren't they raising a ruckus? How is it possible that they don't see what we see? We look at Australia. We look at Australia and think, how in the world is it possible that the Australians have laid down for what has gone on in Australia? Well, I've been feeling that same way for 15 years, long before we started talking about COVID, about something else. We'll talk about it in just a second, but I got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike.
Oh, hey, what's up, Steve?
Not a whole lot. Have you seen in Israel where their green pass for the vaccines are expiring after 6 months?
Yeah.
For the second and the third jab?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's rent a freedom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and I guarantee you that 6 months is going to be generous in a little while. It's going to be 5 months,
yes.
4 months. You know, it's going to be until Pfizer rolls out their daily pill. All right, you take a shot. Two shots, then one shot every 6 months, and you take our pill every single day. You know, their ivermectin knockoff. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here's the question for people out there. don't ask why they're doing this. Ask yourself why you're putting up with them doing this.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's going to lead me right into my next segment. Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad I led you into it. I'll let
right.
you go, Mike.
Yeah, Segway Steve. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So I guess I'll go ahead and get into this. I've been hearing on conservative talk radio, and I guess I'm encouraged by it. People are jumping up and down because part of this Democrat nut jobbery called their spending bills has got something in there about a new IRS rule that the IRS gets information if you've got an account that has more than $600 of transactions to it a year. And conservatives are jumping up and down about this, saying, boy, this sure raises some privacy concerns. I guess the question that I have for conservatives, for Republicans who are talking about this, I understand. These spending bills, the tax and spend Democrats should be opposed at every single step. I'm with you on that. But this isn't new. You understand that the IRS has been noodling around in your accounts. They get a record, I believe. I have to go back and find my sourcing on this, but this was years and years ago, so pardon me. I'm getting older. The IRS gets a little notice of every single one of your credit card transactions and debit card, basically all of the electronic things you do with a debit or credit card that's reported to the IRS. The IRS, under the guise of the war on drugs, another reason I've been telling you this war on drugs is a liberty-crushing machine, not to mention ineffective. In the war on drugs, they set up all these money laundering rules where if you do anything, it started out at $10,000. If you do a transaction of $10,000 or more, it automatically goes to the IRS. So they can look at it and see if you're acting a little suspicious. That $10,000 then went down to anything really that's not within your normal banking patterns. Meaning you sell an old motorcycle for $2,400 and you take $2,400 cash and you deposit it into your account. The bank teller, under threats from the IRS to maintain their compliance and, you know, all of their certifications to operate a bank, they are forced to call the IRS and go, hey, wanted to let you know, suddenly Mike saunters in here with $2,400 in cash. That's unusual for Mike. Just want to let you know, something funny might be going on. Might want to keep an eye on Mike. This has been going on for forever, not to mention, and the reason I bring this up is because I'm glad you're paying attention to the $600. But I'm wondering why conservatives have sat back and allowed the last 50 rules of the IRS paying attention to everything you do, not to mention the income tax code in the first place. Why haven't conservatives been, you know, again, I'm trying to kind of compare it to COVID. A lot of us are looking around saying, what the hell's happening to our freedom, man? Why are our fellow citizens putting up with this? I've been looking at y'all for 15 years going, why are you allowing a government agency with more police power than just about any organization? It's a Gestapo. You understand they can just go in and take money out of your account. No trial. Don't even have to notice you. You can just wake up one morning, everything will be gone out of your checking account, out of your savings accounts. You have to then go prove. You have to go hire an attorney. You have to go prove that you didn't get that money illegally. They just had a suspicion, so they took your stuff. Conservatives said nothing. Sean Hannity said nothing. Leaders of the conservative movement said nothing. So it's interesting to watch everybody gnash their teeth about this new $600 rule. I agree. It's egregious. It's ridiculous. Hopefully it'll be stripped from the bill. But really, does it even matter? Conservatives, these freedom-loving constitutional conservatives, have sat there and allowed these mental midgets in Washington, D.C. to decide every single year how much you get to keep of the money you earn. And nobody said a thing. Nobody cares. You want a tax cut. I mean, if someone's going to break into my house and take my stuff, I want the one that takes 3% less of my stuff to come rob my house. And see, this is This is what leads to them knowing that they can get away with these kinds of COVID things on you. Because they know you're so passive. You'll accept anything. And you just do not get to pick and choose your freedoms. We wait too late. I guess maybe that's my point. This COVID stuff is just more pushing and probing and prodding, trying to figure out exactly what people will put up with. And they finally got Australians, some of them, to stand up for themselves. So they know. So what they'll do is they'll roll back the last two of the last 20 restrictions and see if that doesn't get the Australian people to sit down and shut up. They'll wait a little while. They'll roll out 20 more. And when there's a lack, a pushback, they'll roll back two of those 20. They've been doing this to the American people. And have you held any of your Republican representatives accountable for this? No, absolutely not. You've cheered for them when they said they were going to come steal 25% of your money instead of 28% of your money. All the meanwhile, you meet up with your buddies and y'all complain about how big the government is and how they waste all this money. Mike, did you see that foreign aid bill? We're giving $800 million a year to Tanzania. I can't believe it. Must be those rascally Democrats. See, that two-party game. That two-party game. So I'm glad you're paying attention to this new $600 rule. It's obtrusive. It's Orwellian. It's Soviet tactics. But you've allowed a Soviet-style agency to infest all of our bank accounts for decades and decades and decades. You hearing me, you greatest generation baby boomers, Gen Xers like me? We've allowed this stuff for so long. Now you're surprised they're going to push it just a little bit further? Where were you? Where have you been for the past 30, 40, 50 years as this was encroaching? See, you this is the problem with Americans. You wait too late to get upset.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
As sad as I thought the turnout was this morning for the Rankin County School Board meeting, I was encouraged. Last night I went to Americans for Prosperity's Grassroots Leadership Academy. I think that's what it's called, GLA. It's the Fight the Power crew. Room was packed. I think they had all of the seats full. Good-sized room. These are people looking to get active. I was really happy to see and to meet some people who listen to this show that were there, but there were people from all different walks of life, young, old. Everybody was there, probably different issues that they're involved. But they went around the room and they asked people, you know, why have you come to this thing? That's odd, you know. But when you can fill a room, when Americans for Prosperity can fill a room with people who want to learn to start fighting back, that's a very encouraging sign. And these will be the leaders of these movements while the rest of society just sits and waits until you get pushed into an Australia-type scenario. And these people that are attending this Americans for Prosperity thing will have some ideas on how you push back. They're going to actually take the lead and learn some things. I'm excited about the class. It was great. They fed us, too. I tell you what, one thing's about Americans for Prosperity. I love the fact they're, you know, the sponsors of this show. They're for economic freedom here in Mississippi, which is vitally important. We've got updates on the medical marijuana legislation, too. I believe Nate Baker is coming in tomorrow from 10 to 11, and he's going to tell us what's coming down the pike. It looks like they've come up with something. The scuttlebutt is nobody's seen anything in writing, but it's not the bill that Mississippians voted for, but it may not be the horrific bill that I was expecting. So, I mean, at this point, maybe that's what you take, and then we try to fix it going forward. But it was great to see. But Americans for Prosperity will feed you when you show up. They were going around the room and saying, why did you come? And I almost said, well, I came because every time I go to an Americans for Prosperity evening meeting, I get fed. I'm like a stray dog. You feed me, I'll keep showing up. But no, it was a great event and a great presenter that really talked about what this country is about, what it was founded on, how far we have strayed, kind of gave a little bit of a civics lesson. I think some of the concepts covered in even just last night's on what this country is about was new to some of the people in there, which is great. These are people who will go and learn and think about these things. We need some of those people. We need a lot of those people. But, you know, we know that probably about 90% of the population just wants to get through their day without a catastrophe happening. Or they just want to live one of the guys last night I was talking to, he said, look, as long as everybody's phone is charged and the Netflix is streaming, most people aren't going to get engaged. And that's true. We have to kind of admit that. We don't have to turn everybody into a fighter, but there need to be some people that lead the charge. And people who listen to shows like this one or other programming here on WYAB, the last remaining, probably the last remaining where you actually hear what the hosts believe. Everywhere else, they're conditioned, they're given talking points, they're given yeses and nos about their subject matter. But if you listen to WYAB, you're probably already kind of in that camp of people who are willing to kind of go out there and maybe help fight the fight. But it was a great event. It'll be happening every Tuesday. If you want to attend, email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we focus in laser-like on health. Health here in the United States, health, your health. Or I try to encourage people through natural and nutritional strategies to take back control of your health. They are taking over the medical decisions for your kids, for you. They're mandating things. You can escape the medical system. I did a podcast on this about 7 years ago, I think, long before I was on WYAB. You can escape this medical system. It just takes a little bit of paying attention, a little bit of work. I start every show by explaining to you I am not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not a chemist, I'm not an immunologist, not a vaccinologist. Not a virologist, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a therapist, I'm nothing. I've got no certifications to advise you on your health in any way, shape, or form. I am just imploring you to take control yourself. I had an email last week from one of the listeners of this show who has done exactly that. Said he's lost 85 pounds. He was pre-diabetic. That is rolled back. There's nothing that makes me happier than that. This is all within your hands. This learned helplessness of the American people, from COVID to diabetes to common colds to every bit of it, to think that it is just, you're just lucky or unlucky in life. It's just so horrifically wrong, and it is a helplessness that has been perpetuated by a medical system here that needs you as a customer. They'll call you a patient. What you are is you're a customer, and they need more customers, and they're doing great at it. I got a quote of the day, and then I'm going to get into a story that was on MSN about exactly that. Here's some statistics for you. On September 20th, 2020, was zero people in Vermont vaccinated. They were averaging 4 cases per day. On September 20th, 2021, with 88% of adults vaccinated, they are averaging 214 cases per day, a 5,350% increase. Yeah. Yeah, those vaccines, they're killing it, aren't they? Well, that might have been a Freudian slip there. So I ran across this article, and we're going to get into it. I took about an hour and a half long speech by a woman who, kind of like me, she was just a reporter, just an author, no medical training, no nothing. She started to explore the American medical system, the American nutritional system, and what she discovered was quite fascinating. She wrote books about it. I've reached out to her to have her on the show, but until then, I've got several clips from her, so we'll get to those in just a second. But listen, I want you to listen to this story that ran on The Atlantic. Here's the title of it. And I want you to think about this. I always try to frame these things. I want you to think about this in context of the fact that the CDC and the FDA, the people that have been in charge at the very top of setting policy for Americans' health for decades and decades and decades, these are the ones we're listening to today. Is it fair to examine their track record at all? I believe it is. Because if we shake faith in these foundations, maybe we shake faith in their ridiculous rules and policies. So here's an article out of The Atlantic. Here's the title. Why Americans Die So Much. The subheadline is, America has a death problem. And I'm going to read a little bit from the story. Author says, no, I'm not just talking about the past year and a half, which COVID-19 deaths per capita in the United States outpaced those in similarly rich countries, such as Canada, Japan, and France. I'd add Sweden in there. Author goes on to say, and I'm not just talking about the past decade during which drug overdoses skyrocketed in the U.S., creating a social epidemic of what we often call deaths of despair. I'm talking about the past 30 years. Before the 1990s, average life expectancy in the U.S. was not much different than in Germany, the United Kingdom, or France. But since the 1990s, American lifespans started falling significantly behind those in similarly wealthy European countries. According to a new working paper released by the National Bureau of Economic Research, Americans now die earlier than their European counterparts, no matter what age you're looking at. Compared with Europeans, American babies are more likely to die before they turn 5. American teens are more likely to die before they turn 20. And American adults are more likely to die before they turn 65. At every age, living in the United States carries a higher risk of mortality. This is America's unsung death penalty, and it adds up. Average life expectancy surged above 80 years old in just about every Western European country in the 2010s, including Portugal, Spain, France, Italy, Germany, and the UK, Denmark, and Switzerland. In the U.S., by contrast, the average lifespan has never exceeded 79, and it's now just taken a historic tumble. Author asked this question, why is the U.S. so much worse than other developed countries at performing the most basic function of civilization, keeping people alive? Europe has far better life outcomes than the United States across the board for white and black people in high poverty areas and low poverty areas. This is from Hans Schwant, a Northwestern University professor who wrote this paper. Quote, it's important that we collect this data so that people can ask the right questions, but the data alone does not tell us what the cause of this longevity gap. Well, let me fill in some of these for you. Maybe I'll reach out to the author there and send them on a couple of paths. The United States is captured by the medical system here that depends on disease, popping pills, surgeries, radiations. The largest industry, I believe healthcare is the largest industry in the United States, and they need patients. We've been captured by the pharmaceutical companies here. We've been captured by the chemical companies here. See, in Europe, they've outlawed GMOs and the widespread spraying of Roundup all over their crops. And they live longer. At every turn, in every demographic, rich and poor, black and white, young and old, they have better outcomes. Your U.S. healthcare system has been hijacked, and it's not interested in keeping you healthy or keeping you alive. They'll extend you a few years. I'm not going to give you, they don't really care about quality. They'll give you a little bit of quantity towards the end as long as your Medicare is still paying out, as long as you've still got private insurance. Oh, they'll keep you alive as long as they can, as long as you're paying them bills. But it certainly is not going to keep you healthy. And this is the problem I have with the arrogance of an Anthony Fauci, a Thomas Dobbs, really any medical doctor who comes out and pronounces that they have the keys to safeguard your health and you must listen to them. Don't you dare do your own research. We know what's best for you. Well, I got to tell you, Doc, these statistics show you guys have a lot to learn. And I certainly believe you should start focusing on nutrition to some degree. But again, you need customers. And nutrition is not any good for your customer count. When I come back, I'm going to start getting into these clips. I'm going to show you these same organizations that are calling the shots right now that are masking your kids. It's not for your kids' health. They know it's not for your kids' health. They have studies that show you that it's damaging your kids' health and it's not mitigating any level of disease whatsoever. So you would think with that kind of science that they would just come out and say, sorry, we made a mistake, but they don't do that. They would rather see Americans suffer for decades and decades and decades rather than admit they were wrong. And the scientist will not speak out, as the author will explain to you in just a minute. She'll tell you why the scientist won't speak out. There's plenty of good, smart people in some of these agencies or in the research arms of our universities. The problem is, if they don't carry water for what this handful of psychopaths at the top say, they don't feed their families. There's no grants. There's no nothing. There's no money. And when I come back, she's going to talk about what she discovered about the low-fat diet in this country. And you just think about what has happened to Americans' health ever since they really got cranked up in the 80s with this low-fat diet. Obesity through the roof. Diabetes through the roof. Cancers through the roof. And they knew all along. They knew all along that those things were happening. Yet they continued to set the agenda, to continue to propagate this low-fat lie. I think this is important. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time. I'll be right back. Leg to bite on, but I'm not to fly my kite on. Do you want to flash a light on? Take a look, it's on display for you. Coming down, no, not today. Hey, everybody. Quick little inserted message here. First, I want to thank everybody for listening to this show on podcast. I really appreciate your support of doing that. I know a lot of people have said they're sharing the podcast, and that means a lot to me as well. So thank you so much for that. I've had a lot of people ask how they can support the show. Most importantly, please support the advertisers on WYAB that make the show possible in the first place. And if you or somebody that you know wants to advertise, wants to market a business, please have them reach out to me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com or call into the station. We are extremely dedicated to our advertisers. They get a great return on investment, and they make this station and this show possible. So please do that. For those of you who want to support the show directly, I've had requests for that. I've set up a site, a kind of a crowdfunding site that you can contribute whatever amount, doesn't matter, whatever you value, think the show brings to you. You can go to ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. And that's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. I'd like to be able to expand access to some of the source material for the show so people can get the research that I do and share it with people. I get a lot of requests each day for clips or links of my source material. This might allow me to build a web page and start being able to share those things so I can direct people to those basically at any time. They don't even have to contact me. So any support that you give to the show will be used for things like that. Again, to donate, you can go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow and just contribute whatever you think it's worth, whatever value it's brought, or continue to just listen to the show for free. I'm just thrilled to have you on board in the first place. So whether it's supporting our advertisers, becoming an advertiser yourself, or sharing this with somebody who might want to advertise on WYAB, or supporting the show directly, I thank you a lot. And last request, while I'm being kind of needy, if you like the show, if you would, take a minute to rate it on your podcast app and write a small review if you feel moved to do so, but a rating will certainly help. I'm not good with self-marketing and social media type stuff, as many of you know, but they say that will help in rankings and help the show reach more people. So if you can rate it or write a review and or both, it would be much appreciated. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Back to it now. For the past 18 months, we have devolved into some huge game of CDC says. It's like Simon Says. CDC says put on a mask. CDC says don't wear a mask. CDC says get 2 shots, you're good to go. CDC says now you need 3 shots. Same with the FDA, the NIH, but it's more pithy and alliterative to say CDC says. But this has really been going on for a long time. CDC, FDA, USDA, all these government bodies that people believe are out there stalwarts in their protection of American health. I just read to you the statistics of us compared to other countries similar to us. We have worse outcomes. But the CDC says game needs to end. These people do not care about you. They care about their own interest. This is, I'll play several clips from this. It's an hour and a half long presentation. And if anybody wants to get the link, I think it's fascinating. I love stories of people who uncover corruption. We need more of these. But it's like a Tom Clancy novel or a John Grisham novel, to me particularly. But this is a girl, no nutritional background, no nothing. She sets this up by saying, you know, she was average American. She was a vegetarian for like 25 years, but she was always kind of overweight and not really healthy, and she followed the strict low-fat diet. So she started really kind of investigating and trying to talk to scientists. I want you to listen to what she says when she calls up some scientists to get their take on some of these things. But this is her name is Nina Teicholz, T-E-I-C-H-O-L-Z. And she, this is a, I just cut this down into some different segments that I thought were fairly interesting and illuminating. If we are going to play this game of CDC says, maybe we should know, you know, what these health authorities are all about. Should we listen to them? Or should we, like a child bored with the game, just walk away and not play anymore?
That is what we have obsessed about most in terms of our diet.
And she started to say fat. I actually missed that by a second. She says fat is what we've become most obsessed with in our diets.
Americans, low fat, non-fat, good fat, bad fat, high fat. I mean, we have just, it has been a central preoccupation of our dietary guidelines and therefore of all of us. And I discovered all sorts of things that really as a journalist made my ears perk up, like talking, calling up scientists and saying, I can't talk to you about fat and hanging up on me.
You hear that? See, we talk now about, we know all these doctors and scientists that have problems with the shots or have problems with remdesivir or these kinds of things, but they won't speak up. They're all scared. They're all guarding their own paychecks because they've got to play the game. You don't have to play the game. You can take control of your own health. I mean, she's calling up scientists just to talk about fat in the diet. They refuse to talk to her and hang up on her.
Or people, I mean, scientists, real scientists at reputable universities, or scientists telling me they had been visited by officials from the margarine industry and told to yank papers from journals, editors told to get rid of, you know, to pre-publication, to take that paper out of a journal. And I thought, you know, sometimes I would hang up the phone after these phone calls and sort of be shaking like, am I investigating the mob or am I investigating nutrition science? What is going on? And I,
if you think about that, these are the people who lay out the guidelines. They give you the food pyramid. I'm telling you, now, I don't know if they're this stupid. There's that possibility. There are a lot of dumb people in the world. And just because they wear a lab coat doesn't mean that they're smart, intellectual people. They might just be able to memorize facts, pass tests, and get their positions. But they are trying to create customers. They're trying to create customers for the pharmaceutical industry, for the hospitals. By giving you bad advice on a daily basis, by convincing you that a diet soda, that'll help. Even though the science will show you that diet sodas lead to diabetes, diet sodas cause obesity. It is just the cruelest joke ever. And yet they continue to push these things.
Just, you know, as a journalist, you realize there's just a very big story out there. And this took me, I read thousands and thousands of scientific papers. I interviewed hundreds of the top experts around the world. And it took me a very long time. It took me almost a decade of my life to try to get to the bottom of this story. I should say that I do not receive any industry funding and never have. And so that's the only disclosure that I have. One of the things that really interested me when I started my research is how do you explain this? What happened in 1980 that American obesity just shoots upwards? That's very strange. Obesity is fairly low in the 1970s or not too aggressive. And then something happens to get tick sharply upwards. In fact, if you go back and look at pictures in the 1970s, you know, go look at the line of kids waiting to watch the latest Star Wars movie that's come out. Like, they are all thin, not one fat kid among them. And then, you know, now we live in a much different world. What happened in 1980? Well, I want to tell you a story, the story I tell in my book in a very abbreviated way of just how do we come to believe what we believe about fat and saturated fat and cholesterol. So it all starts in the 1950s. You can see that chart. That's
all right. So I'm going to fast forward this to another clip. She begins to talk about a guy named Ansel Adams. Ansel Adams puts out one study. He's kind of like the original gangster, the OG in nutritional science, that scares everybody into believing what he believes based on a flawed study. And I believe that's what she gets into in this next clip here.
say that nutrition scientists in the 1960s, they knew that the seven-country study was a weak study.
And this is Ansel Adams' study. He did a seven-countries study. This is how he justified this push to Americans that was adopted by everybody, right? All of your doctors, many of your doctors are still telling you to eat a low-fat diet. They haven't gotten the memo yet. Or, again, they're trying to make sure that you keep coming to visit them because they need to create patient load to make any money these days. But they've known these things for a long time.
That they needed to do a more rigorous form of science called randomized controlled clinical trials. And they did them. Governments around the world undertook for billions of dollars in randomized controlled clinical trials. And these took place, I'm saying Australia and England, and most were in the U.S., but in Finland, in Denmark, Norway. And many of them took place in mental institutions or hospitals where people were confined. And these are the kind of experiments you cannot do now because they're considered unethical. But the reason that they're such good trials is that you control all the food of everybody in that setting. People are not allowed to go out down to the local bodega. You can see what people are eating. And this is different than many of the clinical trials that you read about today when somebody, they're really just given a diet book and maybe they're given an hour of counseling, once a week, and they're given a support group, but you really don't know what they're eating. So these were well-controlled trials. They were on tens of thousands of people. I mean, this is a very conservative number I've put up there, the 25,000. It's just, but if you depending on how you count, you can get up to 50, 60,000 people who were tested in experiments lasting 1 to 12 years. And what were the results? There has no effect of saturated fats on cardiovascular mortality or total mortality. And this is my summary of it, but I can, there's, a Cochrane review on this with the same results. Just no effect. Ansel Keys' hypothesis is actually the most tested hypothesis in the history of nutrition and heart disease. And we can fairly say that the results were null, which is they did not show him to be correct. A recent, the largest ever epidemiological study that's been done globally, I don't normally quote epidemiological studies, but I do when they have contrary results. And this is one that is a truly global study. They found that the more saturated fat people ate, the lower their risk of stroke.
It's almost funny, isn't it? For about 50 years, they told you to avoid saturated fats. Now, I probably won't have time to go into it in the show. Understand there are good fats and bad fats. Fried tortilla chips. That's not a good fat you're frying your food in. But saturated fat in animal meats, fatty vegetables like avocados and those kinds of things, the fat that's in fish. Just think about us as human beings. They didn't kill a woolly mammoth and sit around and going, "Ooh, I just want the lean piece. I'm trying to watch my weight." No. They ate the woolly mammoth. But they found out that it actually harms you to avoid saturated fat. I guarantee you this is news to some people listening to me because your doctors are still telling you, now watch how much fat you eat. There are wives out there right now telling their husbands, "Oh, you can't have that big old fatty piece of meat." They're cutting the fat off their kids' foods.
So that's a contrary result. And here, this is Salim Youssef, who is the immediate past president of the World Heart Federation, saying, "I think we got it wrong on saturated fats." The other worrisome thing about these studies that I have just listed is that in a number of them, nearly a dozen of them, they had this side effect. This is the results in one of them, where you can see that the people who lowered their saturated fat, they died at much higher rates of cancer. And this was a consistent finding across all these studies. The people who had gone on the diets higher in vegetable oils and eating the margarine and the soy-filled milk and the soy-filled burgers were all dying at higher rates of cancer. And the NIH was so concerned about this. In the early 1980s, they had four meetings. They held four high-level meetings. Ansel Keys went, his colleagues all went, and they discussed this side effect of cancer that could not be explained. And they could not find an answer. But they decided that the reduction of saturated fat and cholesterol was just so important for fighting heart disease that they were basically going to ignore the cancer side effects.
So how about that? So they find out that this low-fat diet is causing cancer to explode. But they say, well, the risk of this fat is so great, it doesn't really matter. We'll put up with the cancers, even though all of these studies showed that removing the fat had no benefit. It wasn't helping anybody. It was harming people and creating cancers. And again, you heard her say, this was at a meeting at the, anyone, National Institutes of Health. They had four meetings and decided, oh, a bunch of Americans are getting cancer? Well, let's not reverse course. We're willing to live with the cancers, or we're willing to let the people live with their cancers. I bet you anything, with some of those NIH people, the people that were involved in these meetings, I bet you they went home and had a big fat steak and made sure they got their fat intake up. She's got more to talk about when we come back. Again, this is designed to show you that these organizations will propagate bad information at you, bad policies, bad advice that will wreck your health, and they will knowingly allow that kind of advice to stand. They're doing that right now with the masks on your kids. They're harming your children, and they know this, but they're not going to come out and say it. For whatever reason, I don't know, maybe RSV is a very profitable disease. The kids are getting sick. They're going to get bacterial infections more and more. Maybe it's all profit motive. Maybe it's stupidity. Maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it's ego to ever admit that they were wrong. I don't know what it is. I know what it isn't. It's not science to mask people around this virus. But anyway, she's got more that she uncovered in the corruption of this system. I'll do that when we come back. Stay with me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Wednesday. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. The most often recited term by the school board members or employers out there imposing ridiculous mask mandates or vaccination mandates, the most often repeated term is, we're just doing what the CDC recommends. And so I feel it's important to people to understand these groups get stuff wrong all the time. Purposefully, I don't know. I suspect there's a lot of money sloshing around the CDC and the FDA from the big pharma, from the hospital groups. Even as sad as it is, some of the cancer groups, the American Heart Association, they take money from, you know, Coca-Cola. And so these groups, there's just so many conflicts of interest. So when you hear this, we're just doing what the CDC recommends. It's important to understand that the CDC either doesn't know what the hell it's doing or they're just corrupted. And that's why I'm doing this particular show topic today, because I think that's very important. When someone says, we're just doing what the CDC says, you can explain to somebody, the CDC is not your friend. They haven't been guarding. I mean, it is just... It's so apparent to me. The name of the place is called the Centers for Disease Control, and every disease in the United States has done nothing but go up under their tutelage. Heart disease, Alzheimer's, autism, cancers, diabetes. They're really killing it, aren't they? Anyway, this little segment here, this is a speaker, is Nina Tietzholtz. She's a journalist, and she started... looking into the low-fat diet, why it was recommended. It went back to this Ansel Keys study. The NIH, the CDC, they did studies. For decades, they knew that the advice was wrong. And she's going to explain to you why they didn't change tact.
Oh, so why is this not more widely known? You know, people say to me, oh, you don't have any science degrees, and that is true. I did do pre-med and thought I would become a doctor. But I studied politics, and I often say to people, to understand the history of this story, it is really at least half a story of politics. And this is sort of my general politics of nutrition slide because I can't get into it in great detail, but it shows you that's Ansel Keys, who's seated on the left there, and you know that nutrition science really was run by a very small group of men, and all the National Institutes of Health, the American Heart Association, and then the U.S. government was on board. They really controlled the nutrition agenda. And if you didn't agree with them, you couldn't get grant funding. It was very hard to get your papers published. It's very hard to get, you weren't invited to conferences. And so they really controlled the agenda. I mean,
and that's what they're doing right now. These same groups. They're controlling the agenda. That's why these poor doctors that are speaking out against either vaccines or masking or in favor of ivermectin, they're risking everything. Any funding, that's why you can't get more whistleblowers, why there can't be, the average Joe doctor who's just in the hospital that refuses to look at this stuff, I guess that's just willful ignorance. But we've got the same little cabal of people, a very few men, as she says. She's got a picture up here of six guys. They hold the purse strings. Anthony Fauci controls the purse strings of billions of dollars of research grants. You want to reach something contrary to what Anthony Fauci wants you to research? You don't get the money. You just don't get it. And the Americans are the ones who suffer.
I mean, I have many stories and interviews from scientists saying to me, you know, I tried to challenge Keys, but you know, then I was told by NIH secretary that if I continued to do that, I would lose my grant funding. And then his grant funding disappeared. So, I mean, it was a very real threat to scientists to be critics of this. And also the people who believed in this, you know, the people who believed in this hypothesis, Ansel Keys obviously believed in it, but there was a whole kind of group who, around him who strongly, strongly really believed their hypothesis. And so there was this kind of selection of data going on where they...
And if you just joined us, she's talking about low-fat diet. Ms. Ansel Keys came out with a seven-country study, said that fat, saturated fats, was harming Americans. And they, even though people started immediately challenging his hypothesis, proving that it was wrong, the National Institutes of Health, the American Heart Association, the CDC, the federal government, all of the research, they refused to change for decades. For decades, they allowed nutritional advice to go out that was harming Americans. And they're doing that today when it comes to COVID stuff.
I think genuinely just did not see data to the contrary. This is called in science, it's called selection bias, where you select things that agree with your opinion and you disregard things that don't. I mean, we all do this, where this is this normal human kind of instinct, which is you see the things you want to see and you just don't see those other things. But scientists are taught to think differently and be different. They're taught to distrust themselves and they are taught to try to prove themselves wrong. So this clearly did not happen in nutrition. This slide that I have up is, I think, the most incredible example of selection bias that I ever found, which was this was the largest, the Minnesota Coronary Survey was the largest ever test on Ansel Keys' hypothesis. It took place in 5 Minnesota mental hospitals, so well-controlled. They controlled the diet. It was on more than 9,000 men and women, one of the few studies to include women. Half the people were put on a diet that was considered average in saturated fats at the time, which was 18%, which would seem like outrageous to us now. But, you know, regular milk, regular meat, cheese. The other half were put on 9% saturated fat, which is about what we're recommended to eat now. So soy-filled milk, soy-filled cheese. At the end of 4.5 years of that experiment, this was their conclusion. There was no difference in the treatment and the control groups. And subsequently, actually, some researchers from NIH went back and looked at the original tapes that were in the basement from this study, the original magnetic tapes, and reanalyzed them and found out that actually the more the men lowered their cholesterol, the greater their risk of dying from heart disease.
Wait, what? Isn't that interesting? Because every day, up to and including today, you can turn on your television right now, do a quick channel scan, you'll run across a cholesterol commercial. Gotta lower that cholesterol. Actually found out they had an increased risk of heart disease.
And that had never been published in this original paper. So those findings were not published. These original findings were not published for 16 years. This is an NIH-funded study. Findings are not published for 16 years, and then they're put in this out-of-the-way paper that they know nutritionists will not read. And this is pictured here as Ivan France, who is one of the project investigators. And when he was asked much later by a journalist, well, how come you didn't publish the results? He said, well, there was nothing wrong with the study. We were just so disappointed in the way it came out.
Think about that for a second. They did a study where they realized the nutritional advice they were giving to all Americans that was followed religiously by doctors and nutritionists across the land. They knew it was wrong for 16 years, that it was harming people. It was actually dangerous for people. But they just didn't publish it. And when they finally did, they put it in some little out of obscure paper that nobody would ever read, that would never make the rounds. Because they were just, it didn't prove them to be right. That's called hubris, arrogance. And this is exactly what's going on now. I mean, I'll argue, and I've done shows before about the low-fat diet and what a catastrophe it has been for Americans' health, yet many of you out there are probably still believing, I can't eat those eggs. Don't you know about all the cholesterol in those eggs? I want egg whites only, please. People are still doing this based on 50 years of bad science that was proven to be wrong, but they refused to correct the record. They allowed Americans, up to and including today, to suffer conditions that they should not have had to suffer through because these people refused to, number one, admit they were wrong. Number two, they just wanted to suppress the truth. And whether it was to fill the hospitals with heart patients because it's very lucrative, I don't know. Certainly is a possibility. Or it's just absolute arrogance. This same arrogance is on display right now at the CDC, at the FDA, at the National Institutes of Health, at every one of these governing bodies. And then the doctors take that arrogance as fact, and then they push it down onto us. These are the people that have got us playing CDC says. These are the people who are running your school boards right now, doing dangerous things to your children in these COVID supposed mitigation efforts. They're not to be trusted. I'll be right back. All over the world, this is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment here. You know what's really sick about this? You know, when you talk about the low-fat diet, I'm going to wrap this up in a second. We'll go to something a little bit more positive, proactive that you can do. Heart disease, I believe, is the number one killer in America. They've known that their dietary advice was exacerbating heart disease in the United States since the late 1960s. They allowed it to happen, and it's the number one killer of Americans. You think COVID's a killer? Low-fat diet's taken out a hell of a lot more people than COVID ever thought about taking out. We're not supposed to talk about it that way. Also, the rise in things like Alzheimer's. Your brain is just full of fat. You ever held a brain in your hand? I haven't. Seems gross to me, but your brain requires a lot of healthy fats to operate. Suddenly, we're seeing, you know, over the past few decades, this rapid rise in Alzheimer's. They've got you running away from fat that your brain needs. Then they get Alzheimer's, and instead of reversing course and saying, uh-oh, get some good healthy fats, keep that brain healthy, instead they just, FDA just a couple months ago, approved a drug that showed no efficacy whatsoever. Even the FDA scientists were going, why are we approving this thing? It doesn't work. It's horribly expensive, has terrible side effects, and it doesn't work. They did end up putting a warning on it and narrowing the field of people who can use it. But instead of just reversing their bad advice of the last 50 years to help Americans' brains, they approve worthless and dangerous drugs instead. I'm telling you, this system is corrupt beyond belief. Sleep apnea. I've been surprised, maybe it's my age, how many people have problems with sleep apnea. This is our friend Dr. Berg talking about a nutritional deficiency that may help you if you suffer from that condition or somebody that you love does.
Hey guys, so recently I had a question about sleep apnea. What causes it and what can you do about it? So this is a condition which really affects someone's sleep. You see this a lot in diabetics. Is there a connection? Yes, there is. So when you have high glucose, okay, high blood sugar, it depletes vitamin B1. Okay, that's thiamine. Because vitamin B1 is essential in maintaining normal function of your brainstem, especially the breathing centers, which connect to a nerve called the phrenic nerve, which comes down from the brainstem and goes right to the diaphragm. So the entire diaphragm, the motor control, the function of the movement of the diaphragm is controlled by this one nerve. So if that nerve is cut, you're not going to be able to breathe. So what happens, this part of the nervous system is under what's called autonomic nervous system function. Now, the autonomic nervous system works on automatic, but you can also influence it too. So right now, I can stop breathing if I want. And then if I forget to breathe, that autonomic nervous system will kick in there and breathe for me. When I'm sleeping, that system actually breathes for me, so I don't have to think about it. So here's the thing. So when your spouse is, let's say, snoring, and all of a sudden you hear them stop breathing for a period of time, that's sleep apnea. That's definitely involving these breathing centers right here. So it's really the high sugar, okay, which depletes vitamin B1, which then you lose the function of the breathing centers. I mean, if you take a look at other symptoms of low vitamin B1, you have lactic acidosis. That basically is a situation where your pH becomes slightly more acidic and you'll have problems breathing just from that alone. Or there's another condition called dyspnea, which is basically difficulty breathing. It's related to something called beriberi. What is that? That's a vitamin B1 deficiency. But people could have a moderate or a subclinical deficiency that might not show up on a blood test, but it's just gradually going into a major deficiency. Also, there's another condition called SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, okay, where this infant just stops breathing for no reason. Well, that also is related to a severe B1 deficiency in an infant, which basically affects the breathing centers. Again, a lot of this information you can find when you study beriberi, or look at the relationship between vitamin B1 deficiency and SIDS. You'll find a lot of interesting research. So that's why it's very important to make sure that the infant is breastfed, or if you're getting a formula, that it has enough B1 and other nutrients, because some of these formulas are just pure sugar, void of a lot of good nutrition. Anyway, I just wanted to point out that if you have sleep apnea, you may want to start taking vitamin B1, and in addition to that, take nutritional yeast, because that will also support and prevent any other deficiencies from higher levels of vitamin B1. All right, thanks for watching.
Isn't that fascinating? I know we sell a ton of CPAP machines and things like that. As I say, probably a function of getting older, but I just have run into more and more people who use these CPAP machines. I don't know if doctors are telling you, hey, let's, before we put you on a breathing machine for the rest of your life, and those things do not look comfortable from what I've seen, why don't we just try bumping up your B1 intake? Let's get you to supplement with B1 for just a little bit and see if that doesn't help. My suspicion is that's probably not the case, but if you suffer from sleep apnea, or I can't imagine living with a spouse who does, it sounds like it's a very noisy condition, you might want to recommend that they try supplementing with B1. Give it a try. Again, you know, when you look at these nutritional things, the beautiful thing is the side effects are not, they're not dangerous protocols to try. Now, I don't know about B1 and any contraindications with any medications. That's up to you. Do your own research. I'm not a doctor. But for the vast majority of things, bumping up your nutritional intake, all the side effects are good. You lose weight, you feel better, you sleep better, all these other things. So B1 for sleep apnea. Maybe that'll help somebody out there. Share that. You can always get my show notes, MikeMadison@WIEB.com. Email me. I'll shoot them out to you if you're interested in any of the stories. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.